This program is made possible by the friends and partners of Unspeakable Joy.
Praise the Lord. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 3. I want to kindly segue off of those last two songs. And I want to encourage you this morning with a little thought. How big is the love of Christ? How big is the love of Jesus Christ? The book of Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 14. The Apostle Paul said, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith." Now I want to say something, time out real quickly. The Apostle Paul... I feel like I should probably make an addendum to the comment I'm going to make. Some of you have come out of Christian churches that say the closer you get to God, the meaner you get. That's not what Paul said. Paul says the more Christ dwells in your heart, the more you're going to be filled, rooted, and grounded in love. You know what that means? The more closer you get to Christ, the juicier you get. What does that mean? The more you get squeezed by the world, the more the love of Jesus just flows out of you. How do you know somebody's not close to God? Because when they get squeezed, the poison of their former self flows out of them. That's how you know the difference. Now, I felt like I should say that. Let me say verse number 18, because here's where I'm drawing from. May be able to comprehend. Paul said, I want you to get your mind wrapped around something. He said, I want you to be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Beloved, I want you to underline that phrase. You need to know the love of Christ. He said whenever he's writing the book of Ephesians, the book of Ephesians is probably one of the two greatest books that Paul wrote. The other one would be the book of Romans. The book of Romans would be the constitution of Christianity, and the book of Ephesians would be the constitution of every church. And I mean, I'm telling you, the book of Ephesians is one more hunk of burning doctrine, baby. I'm telling you, every verse is full of something that if you'll just think about it, it'll overwhelm you. Paul starts out and he talks about in the book of Ephesians, he talks about things like adoption. He talks about things like the filling of the Spirit. He talks about the doctrines of predestination, or he talks about the doctrines of the grieving of the Spirit, and he talks about the giftings of the Spirit, and he talks about the goodness of the Spirit. He talks about the building of God, the bride of God. He talks about the body of God. He talks about all of these different things, and he gets into chapter number 5, and he talks about husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And then he gets into chapter number 6, and he talks about the armor of God. Everywhere you turn, you're talking about some type of big, tall, wide, unbelievably deep doctrine of the church. But sandwiched right in the middle of all of those things, right in the center of the grieving of the Spirit and the body of Christ, right in the middle of the adoption and the sealing, right in the middle of all of that sandwich, right in the center is the doctrine of the love of Christ. You know, I know the doctrine of peanut butter and jelly and the doctrine of ice cream sandwiches. You know what those doctrines teach me? That even though the outside's good, the best stuff is always sandwiched right in the middle. I mean, adoption is good. I mean, the ceiling is good. Some of you right now, I can tell you ain't been on a diet in 14 years and you're looking at me like you don't understand what I'm talking about. Don't you act Baptist and hypocrite on me this morning. You know I'm telling you, the juicy stuff is always in the center. Ladies and gentlemen, adoption is good. And the armor of God is good. But none of it is as good as the love of Jesus Christ. And in a world that does not know anything but lust, the love of Jesus Christ is good. And a church that does not know anything but vitriol and hate, the love of Jesus Christ is good. And in a world that doesn't know anything but pain and torment, we can report to them that the love of Jesus Christ is still good. But today, whenever Paul writes in chapter number 3, and he's trying to get you to comprehend. Now, he does not say, I want you to comprehend adoption. He doesn't say, I want you to comprehend the sealing of the Spirit. He doesn't say, I want you to comprehend the armor of God. Here's why. Because we can comprehend so many of those things. If you think about it long enough, you can comprehend those things. But there is something that mortal man will never understand, that sin-cursed man can never wrap their minds around. And that is, how can a thrice holy God love a thrice sinful man? How can God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost love sin-cursed body and sin-cursed soul and sin-cursed spirit? I don't know it, but I just know He does. I can't explain it, but I just know He does. I can't put it into words, but I just know that He does. And today, I don't understand it, but I know it's good. And I can't comprehend it, but I know it's great. And I can't put it into words, but I know it's glorious. And I can't fully describe it, but I know it's fantastic. I feel Pentecostal this morning. Say amen right there. Here's what I'm trying to tell you, though. When I think about the goodness and the greatness and the gloriousness of the love of God in Christ Jesus, when Paul goes to describe it, when he describes how great it is, he describes it by how big it is. Paul could have described it in terms of measurements with weight, but he doesn't. He could have described it in the terms of all kinds of things, but he does it in architectural terms. He says, I want you to understand the breadth. I want you to understand the length. I want you to understand the depth. And I want you to understand the height. Now, he says the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. Now, what do those things equal? They do not equal a circle. They do not equal a heart. They do not equal a triangle. But if you have depth, and if you have length, and if you have breadth, and if you have height, you have a cube. That is how Christ's love is described. Now, I know some of you are thinking, my heavens, I didn't sign up for trigonometry. Why am I here today? Because I'm going to take you somewhere. Because there is only one other thing described in the Bible by its breadth, by its length, by its depth, and by its height. Only one other thing. But here's what I want to give you this morning. When I think about the breadth of Christ's love, and I think about the length of Christ's love, and I think about the height of Christ's love, and I think about the depth of Christ's love, what I want to describe to you all right now, as good as I can, how big is the love of Christ? Number one, the love of Christ is so big that it is able to shoulder any load. He says the breadth. Now, brothers and sisters, when you look at the breadth of something, that is the not just the distance from side to side. When I describe that, that is describing the length. But whenever you describe the breadth of something, you are trying to describe how broad that thing is. Now, I know that there are people today and they work out. They need help in Jesus, but they go to gyms and they work out. And their goal in working out is to have a skinny waist and broad shoulders. Now, whenever somebody has broad shoulders, what you describe to them and what you think about them is they are able to carry anything that is put on them. Whenever Paul is describing the love of Jesus Christ, he said, I want you to first of all understand that whenever you think about how strong he is, you need to understand about his love, it can carry anything that is cast on it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what has been cast on the love of Jesus Christ? The depravity of man has been cast on Jesus Christ. Now, here's what you've got to understand. How would some of you feel if your son or your daughter came up to you and looked at you in the eyeballs and slapped you in the face and said to you, I hate you. I don't want to be around you. I don't care about you. That would break your heart, but it would not cause you to cast them out. Why? They're your child. But I want you to imagine if the local neighborhood child came up to you, walked into your house, stepped into your kitchen and looked at you in the eyeballs, slapped you in the face and said, you're ugly. I hate your rules. I hate your house. I hate your ways. I don't like your food. I don't like the way you decorate. I don't like the way you raise your youngins. You're useless. You're dead to me. You're good for nothing. And I'm going to do everything that is opposite of what you are. You know what you'd do to them? If you had half a redneck in you, they'd be picking up teeth three streets down the road. Can I explain to you, that is what you and I did when we sinned. That is what you and I did when we looked at a holy God that desired holiness and righteousness, and we said, we are going to think like we want to think. We are going to do what we want to do. We are going to go where we want to go. We are going to act like we want to act. And Jesus Christ, he should have knocked us in to the very pit of eternal damnation. But here's what we found. When our sin should have separated us from God, we found that the love of Jesus Christ was so broad that we were able to cast our sin on its shoulder. And there on Calvary's rugged hill, there at Calvary's rugged cross, he took the load of sin. He didn't just take a little sin. He didn't just take a few of your sins. He took every sin that you would ever commit. He took every wrong that you would ever think. He took everything that you would ever comprehend, and he put it on the shoulders of the Lamb of God. He didn't just take your sin, but he took your wife's sin and your husband's sin and your children's sin and the Democrat's sin and the Republican's sin and the animal's sin. He took everybody's sin, and his shoulders were so broad, shattered by the love of the Lamb of God. He took all of those sins and he said, I can handle it. Keep piling it on, Father. I can handle it. Keep piling on his own Father. And when the Father in heaven had taken every sin that would ever be committed from eternity past to the day of creation to the end of time, he took every one of those sins, piled it on the shoulders of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ looked up and he said, is that all you got, Father? Is that all of their sins? He said, that's all of their sins. And he made a three-word statement in the English as he looked at the love of Christ and he looked at the sin of man. He said, it is finished. He did not say, I am finished. He said, it is finished. What is finished? Sin's power, sin's weight, sin's depravity. You know why? Because when every sin got piled onto the breadth of the love of God, there was still more love than there was sin. There was still more grace than there was depravity. There's still more love. You say, how is that a blessing to me? Because you're here today and you're a sinner. Oh, you may look pretty. You may look buttoned up. You may smell nice. But down deep inside, you know that you're separated from God. You know you've never been right with God. You've never been saved by the blood. And you're saying, I'm too wicked. I'm too wretched. Honey, if you're breathing air right now, he's already paid for your sin. He's already paid for your debt. It's already been paid for. You just got to cash the check. is still wide and broad enough to handle any sin. Any Christians ever sinned? Don't y'all look at me like that. How many Christians have ever sinned? Can I tell you something? The devil will tell you, you've sinned, you lost it. You can't lose what you did not get of your own power. I wasn't saved by my own power, and I can't get lost by my own power. You know why? Because where my sin ends, the love of Christ is still able to bear any sin that ever lay on his shoulders. How wide is his love? It's so wide, it can shoulder any load you lay on it. But he doesn't stop there. He says, I want you to understand the breadth. Then he says, number two, I want you to understand the length. What does that mean? The length is the distance from side to side. Therefore, number two, the love of Christ can surround any wanderer. I'm a curious person by nature, inquisitive by nature. I love to know who, I love to know when, I love to know why, I love to know how, I love to know what, and if you don't tell me, I'll ask you. If you don't want me to be nosy, don't put it on Facebook. Because I'm telling you right now, somebody's going to bring it to me, and instead of me trying to figure it out by snooping around, I'm going straight to the horse's mouth. You know what I like to know? I like to know details. I like to know somebody take me. And then you go preach these revivals, and people show you the craziest stuff. Cody, my writer, they'll show you the craziest places. They're like, let me show you my barn. You got gold in that barn? No, I ain't got no gold in that barn. Then I've probably seen one just like it. I had a guy one time, he said, you ain't never seen a barn as big as my barn. I said, there ain't no way your barn is any bigger than them barns down at the house. He said, oh yeah, you want to bet? I said, oh yeah, I'll bet you. I'll bet on anything. I'll bet you right now. He said, all right, let's pace it off. And we started on one side of that stupid barn, and I mean, I got to looking at that thing, and it looked like the Detroit Lions field. It was so big. And I thought, man, we got to go. I'm in my Allen Edmonds shoes and my three-piece suit, and I thought, I'm getting ready to walk through five cow patties, four piles of mud, and a thing of straw. So here's what we did. And I'm going to tell you something. Don't you ever challenge a redneck to something, because they're going to make sure that they show you they're right. And I mean, he did this number right here. He got his feet like his, and he got brogans. He was already slow in his walking anyways. And he went 1, 2, 3, 4. And son, he paced that thing off, and he went from one side to the other. He got down to the end of it. He had a jaw full of chaw, and he reached him there. He grabbed it, threw it out. He said, and he named off how many paces it was. He said, how many paces is that barn at the house? I thought, I don't know. I made it up so you'd stop talking to me. I don't know how long and many paces it is. He yelled back. He said, I think I missed a step. So guess what he did? 1, 2, 3. Son, he paced all the way back. He got back. He said, nope, didn't miss a step. You know how he found out how long that barn was? He had to walk from side to side. Can I tell you, there are sinners that have been saved by the grace of God that are in this room right now, and you know how big the love of God is? I'll tell you why. Because you were right with God, but then you got a little bit of prodigal in your soul, and you began to wander away from God. You began to wander away from the prayer closet. You began to wander away from the goodness and the mercy and the grace of God. And you know what you found? As far as you wandered that way, the love of Christ was waiting when you got to the end of it down there, and he wrapped you up in his arms of love. And then you came back to Christ, and you feel like the song, Come Thou Fount. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And you turned around, and you went the other way. But here's what you'll find, prodigal. It doesn't matter how far you go that way, and it doesn't matter how far you go that way. You've got to comprehend how long the love of God really is. You say, how long is it? It's longer than it is from here to the third heaven. It's longer than it is from here to the throne of God. It's so long that he was willing to step off up there and to step in down here. And he was willing to step out down here and go back up yonder. And it's so long that one day he's going to step, my God in heaven, he's going to step back off of yonder and come back down here. But here's what I'm reminding of today. It doesn't matter how far you've wandered, how much you've messed up. You've never outrun the love of Jesus Christ. He said, I want you to comprehend. He said, wrap your mind around it. And Christians, I'm looking at you today, and I'm looking at some prodigals. And I'm telling you, the devil is a liar. He'd love for you to think you've messed up too much, gone too far. You can't go far enough where you'll find the tip of the love of God. Because when you get as far as you can go, you'll find that the love of Christ just keeps going on farther and farther and farther. You can't get that far. He says, I want you to understand the breadth. It can shoulder anything. He said, I want you to understand the length. You'll never outrun it. But then number three, Paul says in verse number 18, he says this. He says, I want you to understand the depth. You know what depth is? Depth is how far it is from the surface to the bottom. So number three, when you think about the love of Christ being deep, it can sink to any chasm. You can't get far enough down where you'll meet the bottom of the love of Jesus Christ. How deep is that? Well, right now I've been to the lowest place on earth. It's at the Dead Sea. I've stood at the very place that they say is the bottom of the physical earth, 1,419 feet below sea level at the Dead Sea. You say, did it go deeper than that? Yep. It went deeper than that. What is the deepest point on the physical earth? It's called the Mariana Trench, and it reaches some 35,000 feet below sea level. In fact, only three people have ever been to the bottom of the Mariana Trench as of a few years ago. You say, did the love of Christ go deeper than the Mariana Trench at 35,000 feet below sea? Oh, it went just a little bit further than the Mariana Trench. You say, how low did the love of Jesus Christ go? I'll tell you how low the love of Jesus Christ went that day on bloody Calvary when the Lamb of God cried, it is finished, and he lowered his chin and he gave up the ghost. That's not where the story ended. The Apostle Paul says here in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 that he went all the way down. He went lower than the Dead Sea, 1,419 feet. He went lower than the Mariana Trench, 35,000 feet below sea level. He went further down than that. How deep did he go? He went past the Mariana Trench, made his way down into the center of the earth, where is hell. According to the Bible, he went all the way down into the pit of hell. He walked up to the bars of hell and he reached inside of there and he preached the gospel of peace and the gospel of deliverance inside of there. And the Bible says he took captivity captive. You say, what did he do? Well, he reached into the girdle of Satan himself, ripped the keys of death, hell, and the grave right off of his belt, took the guard and took the gate, opened the gate up, and he led out all those Old Testament saints that had been waiting for the promise of the Redeemer. As he marched back toward Calvary, he went by the garden tomb, kicked the back end out of it 3 days after he'd been dead, walked back to heaven 40 days after the resurrection, and he led captivity captive. You say, what did he do when he went down that deep? Well, here's what happened. When I was half a heartbeat away from hell, and I should have been burning there, like a piece of bacon fried, back broke, and on my way there forever. When I got down there, you know what I found? I found the love of Jesus Christ had locked the gate and locked the bar, and it sealed it up, and I can't go to hell today, no matter how bad I am, no matter how wrong I am, no matter what I try to do, no matter what I feel, I can't go to hell. Honey, I'm hell proof and heaven bound. Why? The love of Jesus Christ. Beloved, let me help you with something. I want to help Christians. I'm going to tell you something. You can get so low in your walk with Christ and depressed and discouraged, you'll feel like God is within 1,000 miles. And you know what you'll find? You'll find that when you get down deep, there'll be somebody that walks up to the edge of the chasm that you are in and says, "It is I. Be not afraid. I've come to rescue you. I've come to help you." And honey, if that was the way that it really was, what you'd find is a blessing. But that is not the way that Jesus Christ operates in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, He is the one that's leaned, oh God in heaven, He's the one that's leaned over the pit yelling, "It is I. I am there. I am on my way." But in the New Testament, that's not what He does. He's not on the outside of the pit looking in. He's in, oh God in heaven, He's inside the pit and He's looking out and He's saying, "I know the way out of this, but even if we don't get out of this together, I am He that is with thee. I will not leave thee. I will not forsake thee. I will not abandon thee." You've never been to a grave that you were by yourself at. You've never been to a funeral home you were by yourself at. You've never been in depression you were by yourself at. You've never been in a debt hole you've been by yourself at. You've never been all by yourself and actually been all by yourself. How do I know? Because when I got down to the bottom of where I was, I felt the lasso of the love of Christ reach down into that pit, and like the loving arms, the long arms of grace and mercy, they reached down and picked me up and pulled me out. But even when they didn't do all of that, I had company in the pit of despair. You know, I look at people, and y'all crazy. I mean that, just y'all crazy. And I'm crazy too. That's why we have to have each other. Nobody else wants me. That's why y'all stuck. Nobody else will take y'all. Y'all stuck. I wish I was one of them feel-good preachers. I really do. I'd get up here and I'd say things like this: "Norma, He's going to heal you of everything. You're never going to have problems. You're always going to have all the money you want. You're never going to be in a debt you can't pay off. You're never going to have problems in your marriage. You're never going to have trouble with your children." You know the problem with all of that? It's all a lie. It's all a lie. How do I know? The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians, he said, "I've been striped, I've been beat, I've had to fast, not of my own accord." He said, "I've been in prison, I've been cast out, I've been shipwrecked, I've been abandoned by friends, I've been abandoned by family." But he got to the end, and this is what he said. He said, "When I got beaten, when I got striped, and when I've been fast, not of my own accord, and I didn't have anything," he said, "I found that there was something down there with me." You know what it was? He said, "My grace, my grace, my grace, my grace is sufficient for thee." You know what that means? You can't ever run out of that. It's always sufficient. You can't ever run out. It goes down so deep, you can't ever run out of it. You say, how do you comprehend it? You really can't until you get down in the darkest hole you've ever been in. And can I explain this to you? And I don't really know how all this works, Caleb. But when you don't feel it, when you don't sense it, and when you don't believe it, and when you can't find it, you're just as safe at that moment as you are when you do feel it, and when you do believe it, and when you can comprehend it, you say, what kind of God is that? It's a God that I can't comprehend. It's a God that I can't wrap my mind around. It's a God that I can't fully fathom. I don't fully fathom a lot of things. I don't fully fathom the Grubhub. I don't fully fathom the Uber Eats. But you know what? I don't try to figure this stuff out. I just enjoy the blessing of it. So when I'm sitting in my office here in just a minute, I'm going to get on that thing that I do not understand, and I'm going to order me something. Even though I do not understand it, I'm going to enjoy the pure fire out of it. And I don't understand the love of Jesus Christ. I don't understand how I can be so low and still know that I'm safe and secure, even when I don't believe it, feel it, know it. But honey, I'm going to enjoy the pure fire out of it. Even when I don't understand it, I know it's real. But I got a fourth one. He says, I want you to understand the breadth. I want you to understand the length. I want you to understand the depth. And watch this. You notice he said depth before he said height. You know why? Because until you know how low he'll go with you, you'll never know how high he'll go with you. He says, I want you to understand the height. What is the height? The height is the altitude that something rises to. Number four, he says, how can I know the love of Christ? What you need to know about the love of Christ is it will shepherd you over any mountain. You'll never go over something that the love of Christ is not where you're at. Now, I got to thinking about something. And y'all just go with me. I know I have wild thoughts every now and again, but I'm hoping I can help somebody right now. I got to thinking about the high heights. I got to thinking about the broad widths. I got to thinking about the low depths. But the Spirit of God kept putting this on me. And I mean, I got to looking at high stuff. The highest peak in North Carolina is what? Mount what? That's that Common Core education. It's Mount Mitchell. It's Mount Mitchell. It's 6,000 and roughly 600 feet tall. It's the tallest point in North Carolina. You say, does it go up that high? Yeah, the love of Christ will meet you at the top of Mount Mitchell. The tallest point on earth I wrote down is Mount what? Oh, Lord Jesus. Shh. It's Mount Everest. Do you know what the tallest point on earth is? Say it with me. It's Mount. Y'all are so smart. God bless you all. Mount Everest. Mount Everest is 29,031.7 miles tall. The tallest point on earth. 29,031.7 feet tall. And I got to playing with something in the office. If you take 29,029031.7 and you add those numbers up, you'll come up with the number of 22. 2 plus 9 is 11, plus 0 is 11, plus 3 is 14, plus 1 is 15, plus 7 is what? 22 in the Bible is the number of double chaos. The highest point on earth represents the highest peak of man's chaos. Isn't it amazing that the highest peak on earth, the one place that man tries to conquer, takes them to the peak of their greatest calamity? 22 in the Bible is the number of double chaos. And here's what I got to thinking about. When you get to the top of the craziest place in your life, do you know what you'll still find? The love of Jesus Christ. You say, but I don't see it. Then I got to thinking about something that happened in the book of Genesis chapter 22. There's a man whose name is Abraham, and he has a son named Isaac. And God tells Abraham, Abraham, I want you to do the most chaotic thing you could ever do. I want you to sacrifice your son. He says, all right. And he starts the trek up to the craziest spot in his life. Did the love of God meet him? People in this building and people all around the world that God, it seems like, is doing the craziest things. Hurricanes, tornadoes, poverty, sickness, wars, famines. And people can't comprehend God. Why are you doing that? We can't comprehend the love of Christ in our chaos. But here's what Abraham did. He said, Lord, I've learned that I can't go anywhere that your love doesn't go with me. And when he goes up to the top, this is what Abraham didn't realize. While Abraham's walking up one side, the answer to his prayer is walking up the other side. Do you know why so many people never see the love of Christ in their chaos? Because they stop walking with Christ. They stop moving forward. They stop going with Christ. They stop moving with the Lord. They stop believing that God is working. They stop believing that God is trustworthy. And they stop moving. And that's somebody in this room right now. And you've stopped walking. It's a chaotic situation. It's the death of a baby. It's the death of a spouse. The death of a parent. It's a job that just went awry. A friendship. A preacher that stabbed you in the back. Here's what you've got to understand. No matter what God makes you go to the top of, the love of Christ will be all over that, but you got to keep walking in order to see the answer. Are you ready for this? Remember I told you, and I'm done, Scott. Watch this. Remember I told you there's only one other thing in the Bible that's measured by its breadth, by its length, by its depth, and by its height. It's in Revelation 21, New Jerusalem. You say, why would New Jerusalem have the same equating factors as the love of Christ? Because what you will look at for all of eternity will be a reminder that it was the love of Christ that got you to where you're at when you get there. And everywhere you look, no matter if you look how high, no matter if you look how deep, no matter if you look how wide, no matter if you look how tall and strong, you know what you're going to see? You're going to see the love of Jesus Christ.